Welcome to the Elijah Force podcast, an Elijah Streams production. Our focus is to bring a new dimension of spiritual gifting through prayer and intercession, the seer gifting, discerning of spirits, and more. And now here's your host, Julie Smith.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Julie Smith, and I'm the host of Elijah Force. Today, my guest is Alake Kellogg. You all love her. We love her. She's from the Collective Church in Washington State. And Alake is quite the dreamer, and she shared some powerful dreams in the past, and she has more today. And she's going to share about revival, becoming new wine, and this time of being brave for the next generation. We all need to be brave, amen? And so does the next generation who you get to raise up. And it's just a powerful time to sow into the next generation and for revival to come for all of us. None of us are going to be left excluded. We're all included in this revival and the new wine that is coming. But before we bring Alake on, let's run this well video clip and show you where your generous donations are going.
Can you imagine there are hundreds of people in this community? This water holds their only water source. They line up here for hours and hours, and when it is a dry season, this water hole completely dries up. And when it rains, it is a nightmare because the ground gets so slippery, making it even harder to fetch water.
Donate online at ElijahStreams.com/donate. Or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
Wow, I love watching those real and raw testimonies from Uganda. You know, without fresh, clean water, they're drinking dirty water. They walk miles to get dirty water. And unfortunately, some of the gals get raped along the way. If they don't have close, clean water, they walk far, far away to get dirty water. And Lori Sally was on Elijah Streams recently, and she shared a beautiful story of a gal named Kevin. And that, you know, that's a gal's name there. And it's just a powerful story. And Kevin said, don't stop digging those fresh water wells. Don't stop. Don't stop. And we don't have to stop because of your incredible support. And here's a new way of giving. You can scan that QR code and it'll take you to right through prompts from your phone to give. You can also give physically to the address there. You can give online at ElijahStreams.com/donate. And we so thank you for all of your support to us, and we can keep digging those fresh, clean water wells. All right, so let's bring on my guest today, Alake Kellogg.
The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You were born for such a time as this. Your prayers are powerful and bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Seers, dreamers, and discerners, arise. You are highly gifted and anointed. All warriors, arise. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You are a force to be reckoned with.
Hello, Miss Alake Kellogg. Thank you for coming back with us. We're excited to have you on with the Elijah Force family today.
Thank you so much for having me. And also, I want to say thank you that you're showing that we can go beyond borders in helping other nations. Like, yes. Water is something I take for granted here. You just go and open a faucet. But like a few days ago, our well had a hole in it, and we had to start figuring water. I had to use buckets, and I just want to say thank you guys because, you know, you can do without food for 21 days, 40 days even, because Moses did. But when you don't have water, that could kill you. Right. And then not only that, but not just having water, but having dirty water could give you different kinds of sickness. So I just really want to honor you guys that beyond the borders, that you're not only looking inward, but you're taking your hands from here to reach Africa to bring hope where there's no hope. So thank you guys for what you're doing. And thank you for having me on. I feel so honored. I always look forward to coming back.
Yes. And speaking of Africa, we'll get into your talking points here in a moment. You had a powerful dream about Africa. So we'll get into that. And if people don't know, you've shared this, you're from Nigeria. And we want to pray for the beautiful people of Nigeria. And we'll do that here shortly. You know, I always like to start out with family updates and what you've been up to. And you're so faithful in sharing your family updates. We feel like we're a part of the family, and we've watched your gals, Naomi and Ruth, you know, get significant others and relationships and weddings and all that. And you have a brand new announcement, Grandma. Do tell, do tell.
Yes, we have a four-month-year-old granddaughter. Her name is Sayla, and beautiful. It's just so amazing. She's a joy. And, you know, Sayla means to pause, to think, to rest. And it's just a constant reminder for us of, even in our things with the Lord, we can stop, pause, and those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll run and not go away. They'll walk and not faint. She's been a joy for us already. 4 months old, but we are loving her. It's almost as if we what could we do without Sayla right now? She's part of the family.
Look how happy you all are. Babies just bring so much joy, so much joy into the family. It's like unconditional love just hovers over you when you have a new baby in the family.
Yes, and it's been awesome because my husband, Ross, such a great father. I just remember all the date nights he had with the girls. He just really showed them that family was safe. And so now that they're married with their grandkids, we have a different relationship, but we still have a deeper relationship. And so it's just been such a blessing to have a man that invested in his kids. And now that they're grown up, a lot of people, they're like, oh, the kids are gone. And then, no, we see them almost every day.
Yes, beautiful. And that's wonderful. You all get to live close to each other, because a lot of families, you know, they're spread out. So it's beautiful that you guys get to be together. All right, mighty brave woman of God. There's a story here, and we didn't matchy match before we didn't talk about what we were going to wear. We didn't color coordinate. I just felt like to wear like a reddish color today.
Yep.
I was actually looking for purple, and I was like, I don't have any purple. And so I put this on, and who knew it was going to match your brave hat. So there's a story here. Tell us, we need to be brave for the next generation.
Yes, I am so thankful because you guys were part of promoting and getting the word out for Don't Mess With Our Kids. And as you know, we don't mess with our kids. It was fighting for those kids that had been mutilated, that had been lied to, and everything.
Yes.
And we did a great job with May Day. We had a dream, and God gave us a very great strategy to go into 5 cities. So after that was done, we knew that there was something more. I remember meeting Lou Engle in California this year, and he said, Folake, I don't think you're done with May Day and with Don't Mess With Our Kids. And we said, we know we're not done, but we're waiting for the instruction of the Lord. Then our friend, Jenny Donnelly, your friend, my friend, she gets this revelation from the Lord that why is it that we are looking for homes after the effect of the tragedy? Why is it that we are looking for a place to restore after it happens? And he said, why not get ahead of it for the next generation? Why not be prevention instead of reacting? Why not act right now? So God told her to go to Chick-fil-A. And when she got to Chick-fil-A and she saw people lining up, and to be honest with you, everybody knows that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. There's a reason. Everybody knows the culture of Chick-fil-A. And the Lord said, look behind you. There were Muslims buying chicken. There were Mormons buying chicken. There were ordinary people buying chicken. There were people that didn't believe in Jesus buying Chick-fil-A. And God said to her that Chick-fil-A is chicken, but it's packaged in God's glory, his kingdom. And so God said to her, I want to do something like that. And so that was where the Brave Voices of America came. And you in Oregon, but in Washington State, Planned Parenthood pays people $400 to go into public school and tell people about safe sex. But if you do get pregnant, Planned Parenthood could help you, and you talking to your children. And so what God gave her is that, what if you go in? Because Christians can go into, we didn't know we could, but after researching, the church can actually go in the same way as Planned Parenthood during lunch breaks and just share that. So that's how Brave Voices of America started. And we have a magazine of Brave Voices of America. It's a free magazine, but it tells you exactly what we're doing. And that's, we were in Oregon some weeks ago for a 4-day meeting where Jenny was able to publicly launch Brave Voices of America. And it was a 4-day event. We had all the speakers there. We had all these mothers that stood with us with Don't Mess With Our Kids. Yeah. They were like, there is a fight to be had. We would rather prevent than to bring result afterwards. We would rather go ahead of the game. So Lisa Beaver was the one that charged everybody out and said, let's fight for the next generation. Yes. So it was very amazing. And if you look at the magazine, there's so many things that you can see in this magazine. And to be brave.
There it is. So you have a new magazine and it's free curriculum, correct?
Yep. It has curriculums. It has everything. And it's the Brave Voices. And you know, what is so amazing about it is that look at trafficking, abortion. This all happens in every state, including yours. So this is not a fight that says, let Washington go do this for us. No, it's happening in every state. And it's a call for grandmas, grandpas, everybody. Hey, come out and stand. To live in a land that is free, we must build homes and have brave. It starts in our homes. It starts in our homes. And what the brave pathway is, we're going to train our future leaders, even Sailor. Is a future leader.
Yes,
that
she is.
Starts at home to train them to be courageous, to be confident, and to have character. And let me tell you, when you have all that, what happens is a trafficker knows when to back off. Because we saw a video where a guy went to a school and said to a kid, hey, hi. And the kid said, I'm not supposed to talk to strangers. The guy walked away because this kid is brave. He knows what he's from a home that they have taught him to be courageous and everything. But they look for the kids that are weak. They look for the kids that have not been taught. They look for kids that don't have a good home life. So what if we brought a good home life at lunchtime to the kids? And then after that, we invite them to clubs. We invite them to come somewhere where we can speak into their identity. So this is the vision God gave for Brave Voices of America, is to get ahead of the traffickers, ahead of the abortionists. And the way to do it is to tell the next generation who they are in Christ. They are the image of the Most High God.
Yeah. So you ladies are being Jehovah sneaky with his help in schools, because you said the abortionist Planned Parenthood gets to go into schools and talk about abortion. And so you're combating this by bringing a brave new curriculum that is free, that they can hear about and say no to that. And I love what you had said before. It's like if the pre-Planned Parenthood tries to talk to kids, they need to be brave and say, no, I don't want to hear what you have to say. You're causing them to be brave by taking on this curriculum. And this is wonderful. I'm shocked that the schools are allowing you. Are all the schools welcoming this? Or do they have no choice? They have to.
They have to, according to the Constitution. But the Christians didn't know it. But now, even in Washington State, they found it. And they have lawyers. So if you turn away a Christian, then you have to turn away Planned Parenthood. You cannot just have them and not.
That.
So there's... The lawyers are looking at it, and we found out that actually with our constitution, we can do that.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
So we're excited. This is the first video we've done of it with you guys, and we're going to start. And we just launched it a week and a half ago. So this is the first interview going out, but it's going to be everywhere, because we're looking for moms. It's all hands on deck, grandpa, grandmas. It's all hands on deck. Your grandkids come and sit with you. You need to talk to them about being brave. The curriculums are free. You need to talk to them about what God has put in them. The same spirit that is Jesus Christ is in them. So it's time for them to walk in their calling.
Amen. And if they want to learn more about this new curriculum that's free to them, they can go to bravevoices.us and grab that new magazine, and they can print it out and they can give it to their kids.
Yeah.
And you know, be educated about it and pass it on. This is wonderful that you and Jenny Donnelly and others are teaming up to do this together. And it's, you know, you said it's moved from don't mess with our kids to brave now. Yes. And it's like phase two, and it's still not messing with our kids, but you're being brave and saying no to Planned Parenthood. I love that. I love that the Lord gave you all new blueprints for the next phase of this. And we're excited for you all.
Thank you so much.
And we will be brave with you and can't wait for more updates as well. All right, Ms. Falake, we just heard an awesome, awesome explanation about the new Brave ministry and curriculum that is free that you and Jenny Donnelly are offering to the public, and to go into our schools and be brave for the children and train up the children to be brave in the face of Planned Parenthood and all that. How would you charge us right now? Let's get behind this with you all. Parents, grandparents, families, children, what would be your charge to us all to be brave right now?
I think it's time for us to be loud, to invest in the next generation, to speak into their identity, and also to be teachers, that we get every opportunity we have with the next generation. Let it be a teaching moment, because we are stewards of the next generation. So go for it.
Amen. We're all charged up about that. So, so good. And so you are from Nigeria, and you've shared your powerful testimony of the Lord bringing you here and all that. And, you know, there is horrific persecution and martyrdom happening in Nigeria. And I would love for us to take a few moments. And I know you have a heart for Nigeria. We all do. And seeing the horrific things happening over there. Can we pray for the people of Nigeria, the Church of Nigeria right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for Nigeria. We want to thank you that those are our brothers and sisters. Those are our churches. Those are the people, because in the spirit, we are one body. And we want to pray for the pastors in Nigeria that are going through persecution, burying their church members every day, fearing for their life from the Fulani Muslims. Lord, I want to pray for those pastors that you give them courage. We pray for supernatural protection, especially for children waking up one morning and not see their parents. And Lord, I also want to pray for the Muslims that don't know you, knowing that without Jesus Christ, there is no eternal plan for them. And so we want to pray for them right now and ask you, Jesus, to begin to speak to them. We are hearing stories that Muslims are having dreams about the man in the white robe. Father, Lord, we want to pray for the Fulani Muslims. And we say, Lord, let them encounter you, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And without Christ, they will have an eternity separated from you. Even the believers are being persecuted. Thank you for their boldness, knowing that the blood of the martyrs is seed for the revival and the harvest. But for those that don't know you, their eternity is at hand. And I remember you, Lord, saying, pray for their salvation. So we just come together right now and say, Father, we pray for the Muslims. We pray for those that don't know you. Father, the ideology, the lies they've been told against Christians and Jewish people that has made us an enemy with them. They have made themselves to become the judge. But Lord, let them meet the judge, just like Saul was met on the road to Damascus. I pray that the Muslim will have a soul conversion to Paul, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Yeah. I was getting that Saul to Paul. Let it be so, Lord. And yes, that the Lord would show up, Jesus would show up and say, why are you persecuting me?
Yes.
Why are you persecuting my church? And they would have a radical opportunity to receive the Lord. And I just saw the moment that they are martyred, the Lord just took them up, you know, the Christians, the martyrs up. And they got a great crown. And you know what else I see? I see a red gem, like a royal diadem, a red gem in their crown. It's, you know, you're being brave. They're being brave. Yes. You represent the bravery of the Nigerian people. And I just see that red. I saw it now, the crown. So it's the blood. They're wearing the blood, the martyr's crown. It, you know, they're sharing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And their reward and their crown is great. So we just thank you, Lord, for all you're doing, and that Nigeria will be set free and they will experience a revival, just like we've seen in other nations already this year. Thank you.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Force podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahForce.com/give.
Yes. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Amen. All right. Speaking of Africa, you know, you're a powerful dreamer. You have a lot of potent dreams. Your dreams have been shared on the world stage. And that's how we got to know you at the Million Women's event. We saw you on stage with Lou Engle and others, and you shared powerful dreams, and you're quite the dreamer. So tell us about this recent one you had about a preacher from Africa and turning water into wine. I love this. I'm intrigued.
Well, I had this dream 3 weeks ago, and this dream was very strange because I wasn't thinking about anything. I went to bed and I enter into this dream. In this dream, we were in a huge stadium-like place, and I know my church was there and my husband was there, and I noticed this preacher, and I know he's from Nigeria. In the dream, I had recognized him as one of the trusted voices in Nigeria. And in that dream, he was saying, "You guys," we were all standing in a group. He said, "You guys come here," the center of the stage where he was. And so we ran there, and he said that in these days, I am going to pray for the work of your hands, and that I'm going to pray. And he prayed Psalm 90 verse 17 over us. Now, I didn't know what Psalm 90 verse 17 said in the dream, but he said, "I'm praying Psalm 90 verse 17 over you." And he says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Then when he finished praying that, he now said, "God is giving you speed." And you know, I was like, "What?" And in the dream, like, "What is that?" And then he answers and he says, "It's acceleration to accomplish what he has for you. It is to redeem time. It is just like when Elijah outran the chariot, when he told them that, hey, rain is coming." He didn't have a chariot, but somehow he had speed and he got there before Ahab. And so the Lord was saying, "I am accelerating in this time for the church, and I will redeem the year that the locusts have stolen." And even this morning, I woke up. The Lord really wanted this to be like important. He tells me a story as I'm waking up. He said, "Folake, do you remember in the Bible when the Israelites said, 'We will not follow Moses and Aaron'?" So God said, "Everybody get a stick." And he takes all their stick, he puts it in the ark. The next day, Aaron's stick had blossomed into almonds. And that was speed. In one day, it was an acceleration of normally it takes time for the almond tree to blossom. But God told them, "All of you put it in the ark and come back the next day." And Aaron's stick had blossomed, and that was speed. Speed is the more I've studied this, it's an eternal, it's the life of God. It's eternal. And so God was saying that he's giving that to the church in these last days. So for even you listening, promises that have been delayed, things that have been stolen, he said that the enemy will pay back seven times for what he had stolen. That's speed. That restoring the things that have happened. And in God's timing, he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no time in with God. It's like, boom, God can change things. Like, I remember Christians, we call it the suddenlies of God. The suddenlies of God. You know, God can change things in a moment. So after waking up from that dream, I was praying into it. And I'm like, "God, what is this?" One thing I learned about what God is saying is, we as believers, I love dreams because the Bible says in the last days, he'll pour his spirit upon all flesh. But we are having a generation that dreams are not just enough. We need to teach them why dreams are important. The foundation must always be the word of God. So the Lord began to talk to me about this, the dream, that what does this dream mean for the U.S.? What does this dream mean for the church? You know, the Lord is giving us speed in this season to accomplish what he has promised. We just entered the 250-year anniversary of America, and God is saying, I am not done with America. I am not done with the church. Actually, the church is the bride of Christ. The church, he says, that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So what is God saying? He's going to accelerate things. He's going to speed up things right now so that the church will be ready to be able to accomplish the things that God has given us. So remember, in October 2024, we went to DC to pray with Lou Engle and everything on a million women. But look at what's happening right now. We actually crossed over to 250 years of America. Those prayers are being sped up right now. The things we prayed for on that mall are happening right now today. So God is listening to our prayers that have come up to him like a bowl, and he's accelerating the answers to the prayer and the promise he has given us. Some people, their promises have laid dormant. They've had their promises in a grave. They're like, I don't know if God will do it. I want to encourage you, go back and pick up those promises and ask the God that told Elijah to run ahead of the chariot to bring speed into your life. And so as he was talking about it, he led me to the book of John. Do you know the first miracle that Jesus performed was the miracle of turning water into wine? And I want to say that in that story, they were having a wedding, but they didn't even realize that the wine had run out. I believe today the church, we're having church, but the wine is gone. The wine is gone. Gosh, and people might listen to me and say, who do you think you are? Me and my husbands are pastors of a church. So I'm not getting down on churches. I'm just saying to you, the wine has run out. Because if you look at the book of Acts, they were having miracles every day. The wine, they were having miracles. Not only miracles, the Bible says God was adding to them daily 5,000, 3,000. In fact, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit. They dropped dead. There was a fear of the Lord. Paul's handkerchief was healing the sick. Peter's shadow was healing people. So I want to say, the church as it is today, the wine has gone. The wine has dried up. And that was one of the things he showed me, that the wine has run out. But what happened in John 2? They came to Mary, which I believe is a picture of the Holy Spirit, and they said, the wine has run out. And it's a shameful thing to not have wine. It's a shameful thing that the most powerful entity called the church has no power. It's a shameful thing that witches have more power. Witches are boasting in their power today. I mean, look at what happened to Charlie Kirk. The witches said, we got money on Etsy to be able to put a curse on him. You know what? The church is the most powerful entity. So finally, there was a group of people. They called them the servants. But I believe it's the remnant. I believe it is the John the Baptist. They're like, we are looking at the state of the church. And Jesus, we have seen your power and it's not here. Would you bring your power back again? And so what happened was that he said, go get 6 gallons. If you look at the book of Genesis, God created man on the sixth day. Six is the number of man. And so they got 6 gallons. God is saying, it's only humanity that's going to carry this thing. It's man that's going to carry this thing. And so he told them to fill it, the water gallons, to the brim with water. Water, he says, and Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. John 2, 7. So look at that. That was the instruction. Hey, the wine has run out. God is saying, go get into the word. The word of God is water. The word of God represents the Holy Spirit. He said, get back into filling yourself. If six is the number of man, God is saying the days of filling yourself with other things is over. If you want to see the move of God, fill yourself with the word of God. And then when he said that they should fill it with the word of God, He was saying the power of the word. We must come back to the foundation. The foundation of John 2 was like Jesus could do the miracle, but man had to come alongside him. There is, God can do everything, but for some reason, God says, I'm going to partner with man to do the miracle. So he said, your job is to fill yourself up. My job is to turn that water into wine. And so what happened is that they filled the containers up with water and they took them to the people to show them while they were going to the people to show. Jesus says, just go. He didn't ask them to taste it. He said, take it to the guy in charge of the wedding. Mm-hmm. And while they were going, the miracle happened along the way. He performed the miracle on the way they were going there. And God told them to drink it. And that water had turned into wine. And God is saying to us right now, he is going to take the word of God that we fill ourselves with into wine. God's job is not to fill us up into the word. We are the ones to discipline ourselves to not be distracted in this season, to get in the word. Now our job is to fill that jug ourselves. We are the temple of the living God. Our job is to fill ourselves with the word of God. Now as we walk, they were walking to the ceremony, to the guy. They had not seen what had happened. As soon as they gave him that, the water had turned into wine. God is calling us that he is turning the words we've put in us into wine. Those words, he will lead us before kings. He will lead us to our schools. He will lead us from the church outside. It's like Ezekiel 47. The water in the temple, it got higher as we left the temple to go into the world. It went from ankle deep to knee deep to, and we were swimming in it when we got in the world. But we cannot not have the word of God any longer. That's why the wine ran out. If you look at the book of Acts, they asked their apostles, I think it's Acts 6, they asked their apostles to come and wait on table. They said, we cannot wait on table. You find people that can wait on the tables, but we will not step away from going deep in the word of God, from being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think that is the water that we need to be pouring in ourselves, where we say nothing is as important as the word of God. And by the way, the word of God is Jesus Christ. He is the word. The beginning was the word. The word was with God. We must fill ourselves with Jesus. We must go to Jesus and say, there is no wine in my life right now. Wherever we are, where we feel ourselves dry, we need to go to Jesus. There is no wine in this area of my life. I need a miracle. And Jesus will say, pour my word in you. And then you will have a miracle. And that was where the word he gave me about the speed. He said, Elijah, that go read that story. That as you read that story, you see what happened to Elijah. Elijah, he kept praying and he said, go look seven times. And then the servant came and said, I see a little cloud. He said, go tell Ahab to get to go home. And then somehow God said to Elijah, now you run. And he got there before him. And that's what we need to do. Are we seeing those things in our life? Because this was Jesus's first miracle, but he saved his best for last. I believe in the last days, we're going to see water turning into wine in our life. We're going to see ourselves. God is just going to bubble out of us this joy as we bring the word of God to people. God is just going to be bubbling in. We won't have to wonder, what do we say? The Bible says, do not worry about what you have to say. Do not worry. The Spirit of God will speak through you. We're going to see the greatest miracle. He has saved the greatest for the last. So don't settle for the old bread, the old wine. God is bringing new wine. Mark 2:22. I love Mark 2:22, and it's the one that he says that no one puts old wine into new wineskin. Said that no one puts new wine into old wineskin unless the new wine bursts the wineskin. The wine is spilled and the wineskin is ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskin. And God is looking for hungry people that would say, God, I don't have the wine in my life, but I have seen your work in the book of Acts. I've seen what you did with Elijah. I've seen what you did in the Old Testament. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm asking you, as I put the bread of life, which is the word of God in me, turn it into wine so that the nation can receive from it. And that is, that looks like joy. You know, like we can preach as if we have just drank lemon. It's like we're putting the gospel and we're frowning and we're like, it's the good news. It's the good news. Jesus is excited. And that's what the new, what God does with the new wine. He's going to make the water turn into something so joyous, something that it's revival. It's getting the nets ready, because God is not going to be a harvest. He's not going to bring a harvest that we are going to miss. He's not going to be a bring a harvest that we are going to lose. Right now, we need to be filled with the word of God so that when the harvest comes, we can be able to contain it. That wedding became an amazing wedding. They were not embarrassed. People, even the bride and groom, did not know that the wine had run out. It was the servants that noticed it and went to Jesus. And I just want to pray, if you're here and you're feeling this excitement that I noticed that, I wonder that, well, you are one of those John the Baptist, the remnant that is feeling like we need to come back to the book of Acts. We need to come back to the power of God. We need to come back to meditating on the word of God. You are one of those people, and Jesus is waiting for you to just come and say, God, I need new wine. And so, and then I started thinking about it. Okay, God, you're giving us speed. You want us to fill ourselves with the word of God. You want us to have new wine. So Lord, what is this unto? Then he takes me to Luke 15. There's three stories in Luke 15. And those three stories, just when that guy said in Psalm 90, verse 17, all this, it was like a blueprint of the dream. Mm-hmm. In that dream, if we go back to Psalm 90, verse 17, it says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. When we have the beauty of the Lord, the world does not want us. They want Jesus. So the beauty of the Lord is what they see upon us. And he now says, and establish the work of our hands for us. He's saying that, God, establish the work of our hands, that the things we do, it will bring you glory. But what is so crazy about this is that I'd never read this until I woke up from the dream, and he said it. Then he now affirms, he said, yes, establish the work of our hands. I believe God is establishing the work of our hand by restoring the years the locusts have stolen, by bringing new wine into the body of Christ, by bringing joy into the body of Christ. Why? It is preparing us for the greatest harvest. And if you look at Luke 15, there are three stories. And Julie, do you have anything to say? Because I know the Lord always gives you, he always gives you pictures when I'm speaking. So I just want to jump to the next one.
I know. I don't want to interrupt your flow. I was just getting a bunch of things. And, you know, there's no, you know, coincidence that we're wearing the color of wine, both of us today as well. You know, we're carrying the wine. It's like we're representing the new wine. And before we go today, before we, you know, when we pray near the end, I would love for you to pray for the new wine. We all want the new wine and to be prepared as new wineskins. That's what the Lord is doing with all the shaking going on in the church right now. Yes. He's preparing us. You can't put new wine into an old wineskin. He's ripping out that old wineskin and saying, no more of that. There's a new wine, a new brave generation that will carry the new wine of the Lord. And that's what he's preparing us for. And we need to make ourselves ready. But I was thinking about, you know, the wedding at Cana and the new wine. And I was thinking about, you know, that's Jesus's first miracle. And then, you know, when we go to heaven, it's going to be, we're going to be at the greatest celebration, another wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's so connected from his first miracle to when we all, you know, get to, you know, enjoy and embrace that celebration together when we're one together in heaven. And I thought of that. And when you were talking about, you know, the acceleration, I heard the Lord say he's moving at the speed of light. You know, when he says, let there be light, he's saying the same thing. Let there be acceleration. It happens that quick. He made the earth, you know, in 7 days, and 6 days was, you know, when he created man. It's going to be that quick. When he says, let there be light, you know, when he says, let there be acceleration, it's going to be just like he said, let there be light. And that was what I was getting. But I'm so excited for the new one. You got me all pumped up. So that's what I was getting you know, from that and visions of that. But go ahead and talk about the Luke 15 that correlates with this. This is awesome. I love the stories and parables from Luke 15.
Yes, it's so amazing because when the Lord began to tell me that there's going to be one great final move of God, yeah. The story he gave me was from Luke 15. Mm-hmm. Now, the first story is you find the story of a shepherd that leaves, it says, mm-hmm. He spoke this parable to them saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So let's talk about this.
Help Elijah Force continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making the Elijah Force podcast possible. Visit ElijahForce.com/give and become a partner today.
When you read that story, who comes to mind? Who left heaven to come for the one?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. That story, he showed me that that's what Christ did. Mm-hmm. Christ came. He left everything. The Bible says he came to do what his father was doing. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Even if it meant only one person was going to be saved, he was willing to give that sacrifice. So he said to me that story of the shepherd is Jesus Christ. It's what happened at Calvary. It's what happened in salvation. Now, there's a second story. It's a woman. She loses her coin. She has 10 coins and she loses just one. And the Bible says, it says, oh, what woman having 10 silver coins? Silver is valuable. Mm-hmm. If she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, let's talk about silver. Mm-hmm. Silver is valuable.
Very valuable now.
And then think about it. They all look the same. She did not want to lose one of it. She wanted them to be together. Mm-hmm. But you know what she lit? She lit a lamp. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, what happened on the day of Pentecost? What came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost?
Fire. Tongues of fire.
Tongues of fire. The Lord said to me, you have seen the birth of the church in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So Jesus came on the cross for the one. The Holy Spirit shows up the fire on the day of Pentecost and say, I'm not going to lose the one that he has died for. Now, well, let's go to the greatest one, the one we are waiting for. It's the last story. Had never seen this, but he said to me, all this speed, the restoration, the new wine is preparing us for this moment. So let's look at the last story. And in this last story, he says, then he said, a certain man had two sons. He said, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Let me tell you something about that severe famine. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? Famine means there's no food. Mm-hmm. The wine has dried up. There's no food. The wine has dried up. So he got to a point where he was saying, it has dried up. All the food I could have has dried up. It's the same way with when the wine has dried up. This guy realized the wine has dried up. The favor has dried up. So he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I love this story because we have just learned the first miracle is about new wine. But now we're looking at bread. Isn't Jesus the bread of life? Isn't Jesus our wine? But listen to this, Julie. I didn't collate this until now. So I want to say this is the Lord. When I talked about the new wine, and now I'm talking about going home to get the bread, the Lord just said this to me, communion. What do we break? We break the bread. What do we drink? We drink the wine. It's about Jesus. It's about his blood. It's about everything. What Jesus did on the cross, the communion is what brings us to him. So the story goes on, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it a little bit. Is that okay? So the story goes on that he goes back to his father's house. Now, when the father saw him coming from afar, what did the father do? He runs to him.
Yeah.
He runs to him before he repented, before he had already planned what he was going to say. Now, think about this last revival. We are thinking the world needs Jesus. But the first one, Jesus came and made a way with leaving heaven to comfort the lost sheep. The second one, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit shows with the fire of the Spirit to find the lost. But this one, there were two sons. One left, and now he's in want. The food has run out. The bread has run out. He said, I'm going back home. His father sees it, and we see the reaction of this revival. The father ran with compassion. The father ran. You see, fathers don't run in the Jewish Hebrew because it's kind of disgraceful. But the father did not care. He broke all rules, just like Jesus did. He broke all rules to come and save us. He runs to him. He hugs him. He loves him. He kisses him. That is one aspect of the revival. The lost are coming home. But the second aspect is his son, the one that never left home, was home, but he had an orphan spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He was home, but he didn't know the father. And we have people in the church, they are home, they're in the church, but they're like, God, you did a miracle for that person, but why haven't you done it for me? God, you gave this person in the way. That person just came in and you healed them. Why haven't you done it? Those are the ones. And the father says, everything I have is yours. Mm-hmm. Everything I really have is yours. The revival that is coming is for the ones that left and the ones that stayed home. God is going to have a mass revival, the greatest revival. He's going to be, we're chasing after the lost, but we're also chasing after the big brothers that have been waiting. They're discouraged. They're disappointed. Mm-hmm. They have an orphan spirit. They feel like, look at what we are doing. Look at my brother. He just showed up, and God, look at the party you're doing. And God is saying, if you ask for a party, I will have given you a party. I don't want you to be a servant. I want you to be a son. And there are many that are servants, and God is saying, your sons and daughters. And that revival that's coming is going to be for the prodigals and the brothers. They're going to come together, and every religious spirit will be broken. Every orphan spirit will be broken. And it's going to be the Father's revival, because the first revival was Jesus's one. The second one was the Holy Spirit. But the greatest revival, according to Luke 15, is going to be the revival of the Father, the Heavenly Father.
Woo-hoo.
It's going to come speedily. Is going to come with restoration. He said he will turn the hearts of the children back to the father. It's going to come with restoration. So those that have lost their children in this war of culture, they are coming home. And those that have kids that are at home that are very upset and disappointed and saying that, why don't you do this for me? I've been faithful. God is going to restore them. He's going to break that religious spirit and say to them, you see yourself wrongly. You're a son. You're not a servant. Sit down in your place of position, because it's about our identity. The prodigal son did not know his identity. The brother at home did not know their identity. But if we look at it, Ephesians 2 says, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So God's identity is to say, your sons and daughters, and you're sitting with me. So that is a revival coming. And let me tell you something, Julie.
Yes.
Imagine people that know who they are. They will turn this world upside down. That is what is coming. That is the greatest revival that is coming our way. We will turn the world upside down. According to Acts, they said, those men that turned the world upside down have come here. That is the greatest revival that we're expecting. And God is, he's cleaning house, because it's going to be pure. It's going to be holy. And what God is also doing is he's mending nets so that there will be no waste of this revival.
Amen. Ooh. so much to unpack there and to glean from. I was just thinking about, you know, you said the sons didn't know who they were. Neither one, you know, the prodigal son didn't know his identity. And the one who had been there didn't know his identity as well. And the father knew their identity. He knew both ends, and he knew how to handle both ends. He received the prodigal with open arms and had a party and a big celebration that his son is home. The other one, you know, was like, I've been here. How come you didn't throw me a party and all that? Yeah. And he said, everything I have is yours.
Yep.
It's like, you know, whether you are a brand new Christian, a prodigal coming home, or serving the Lord for years, your father knows your identity as a son and daughter of his.
Yes.
And when you walk in your identity, when you recognize who you are in the Father, you're going to have revival in your own heart and bring revival to the world and become that new wine so you can be brave and take this world by storm and be brave for the next generation. Ooh, this was power packed. I'm ready for the new wine. I want that new wine.
Yes. I think
be stirred up and hungry.
Pray right now. I said, we need to pray right now for the new wine for all of us. We all need it. I think we all are desperate for it. We all know that there should be more than we are seeing in the body of Christ. We all know that the church should be the most power, and we're not seeing it. It's not God's fault. It's us that need to fill ourselves with the world, the word of God instead of the world. So I love to pray for new ones.
Yes, let's do it. Yeah.
So Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you. We want to thank you that the stories of the Bible are stories that you put to ignite our faith to trust you. These are stories of Jesus. These are stories that you have put in us to be able to remember who you are, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Lord, we want to pray for that new wine, for that areas of our life that the wine has run out, areas of our life that we have not put the word of God, areas of our life that we don't have faith for, that we don't believe that you're who you say you are, or we don't believe for the miraculous. We don't believe that you can fulfill the promises you've given us. Lord, it's because those areas are dry and there's been a famine and it's empty. So Lord, we just want to pray right now, first and foremost, for the desire to love your word. Father, Lord, and loving your word is loving Jesus. Father, that's the foundation. Father, Lord, I just want to put, you said speed is coming. So I want to ask for a supernatural speed that we love your word in such a way that it's just going to be, we'll be undignified in the way we read your word. I just see people meeting with people in their homes, just busting open the Bible and just getting fresh manna, fresh revelation from heaven. Then, Lord, we ask you to take those words and just turn it into wine and set us loose. Set us the highways and the byway, and that we will put on Christ, that people will see Jesus in us. Establish the work of our hand. Yes, Lord, establish the works of our hand. Father, we want to walk in power. Father, Lord, the power of God is our inheritance. Father, the days of the church, people coming in and going out, getting behavioral modification or moral and standards is over. We want the power of transformation. You turned the water into wine with speed. It didn't go through fermentation. It didn't go through days of holding. You speedily turned it quickly. So Lord, we're asking you do the same in our life as we put the word of God in us. In Jesus' name, give us a desire for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, while you were praying, I saw Jesus, and I saw us, and it was a reflection and a mirror. And the Lord wants to remind us that we're made in the image of Christ.
Amen.
So when you see yourself in the mirror, you need to know that you're made in the image of Christ, and that's your identity as a son and daughter. He died for you to take on his identity.
Yes.
And to become his son and daughter. Amen. Made in his image. If you really believe that you're made in the image of Christ, how much more will you accomplish through him?
Amen.
How much more? If we truly believe that, and the enemy tries to throw lies and, you know, put in front of your in front of our mirrors, like shame, depression, fear, doubt, and try to put that image in front of us. But no, we just break off those false images from the enemy, and we declare we are made in the image of Christ.
Amen.
And that's what we will put on.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Woohoo! Awesome. Oh, this was wonderful, Palake, and very rich. And I'm so excited for the brave new world that we're coming into, you know, being made in the image of Christ. Amen. And the new wine being poured out through us. There's a wedding celebration, amen.
Amen.
That we're about to gather and partake in together. And it's so, so good. And I also think it has to do with the communion revival. And you talked a little bit about that. And you talked about that before, the communion revival.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing. I think that's what we're seeing as well. And that's going to break out, the communion revival.
It will, because I did not see it until I was talking that we're talking about new wine. And
yes.
I ran out of bread. And the Lord said, it's my body that was broken and my blood that was shed. That's the answer. It was on your show. I saw that relation. So
yeah.
I'm going to spend the next few days digging into that.
So, so good. Well, let's just remind people how they can get a hold of you and your resources and all that. So they can go to your church website, Collective WA. Palake, when is your Palake.com, PalakeKellogg.com website coming? I keep reminding you of that. You've got some techie kids that can help you with that, okay?
Yes.
It's coming in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. And then, of course, we want to remind people where they can get that free Brave curriculum. We showed that earlier, bravevoices.us. Download the PDF and be a brave voice and help change the world and the next generation. We're all needed. It's all hands on deck. You know, you talked about, you know, God bless the work of our hands, the work of our hands.
Yes.
All hands on deck to be brave voices to change the world in Jesus' name. There's so much more work at hand. And then you've got your Instagram and Facebook. Are you pretty active on your socials?
Yes, I am, believe it or not.
There you go. Awesome. Keep up with Palake there. All right. And then we have a book, Your Close Conflict,
yes,
that we brought up before.
Yes.
And that's written by your husband.
Yes. Cool. Yeah. Close Conflict is, it's amazing just to see how people are using it. And we're just getting testimonies about how it has changed relationship, even relationship that has, that was like damaged. God used my husband's Close Conflict to help people. And you know, it's just like every other book. If you do not apply it, it's not going to work for you. So it's been so cool to hear testimony. We had a friend that bought 50 of it and just was giving it to everybody. So I'm really excited about this book. And I just go on Amazon, go for it.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for joining us today. And I just want to bring up John 2:10 again to remind us what's all coming.
Yeah.
The wedding celebration at Cana. And he said to them, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. And there are other versions as well that say you've saved the best wine for last. And we just declare the best wine for last. You've saved for us. And we're the brand new wineskins you're pouring it into in Jesus' name. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Palake, please keep us posted. And, you know, the next time you come on, maybe we can have Jenny Donnelly join you and you can all go over your brave new curriculum and share powerful testimonies at what's been happening in the schools. I love that you guys are. Do you guys plan on speaking at schools? Because I see that. I see you guys being bold and being, you know, going in as fierce, brave warrior lions in the face of Planned Parenthood and everything they're shoving down our children's throats at school and being braver. I hope you all will, you know, spread this and speak at schools too. I don't know if you thought about that, but I see that coming.
Yeah, we have a young man in our church. And I feel like God has called him for this moment and we're going to walk alongside of him.
Yeah.
But I see it's going to be multi-generation because he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it will be really cool. Everything we're doing, even our church right now, is multi-generation. We're having leaders meeting all ages. I feel like we're getting ready for the new wine.
Yes. Well, I see chapters and I see school assemblies. So whatever that means, I really believe you guys are going to be at assemblies and school assemblies. And it's going to multiply this in chapters. Like, people are going to catch on to this, and there's going to be assemblies and chapters in different schools and different cities and different regions.
Wow,
and
amen.
It's going to multiply into chapters as well. So awesome, awesome. So excited for all you do. And thank you for being a voice in this brave new world for our next generation. And we're alongside of you and cheering on with you all.
Thank you so much, Julie. Thank you for having me here. Yeah. I love to be, I'm so thankful to be a part of this community, this family. And thank you so much. I always come out with something amazing.
Yes, yes. And until next time, and we'll see you soon. All right, viewers. Well, we'll remind you where you can watch us, like us, and give us some love. We're on Rumble, Elijah Force, Facebook, Elijah Force Show. Email us. Tell us your testimonies today at connect@elijahforce.com. We're on Instagram, Elijah Force Show, and take us on the road at ElijahForcePodcast.com. So viewers, thank you for joining us today on Elijah Force. And never forget, you are a force to be reckoned with. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everyone.
This has been Elijah Force. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Force podcast on Apple and Spotify. Join us every Monday and Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Rumble and Facebook. Elijah Force is part of Elijah List Ministries. Go to ElijahForce.com/give to become a partner today. Did you receive a breakthrough from today's show? Please let us know at connect@ElijahForce.com. Never forget that you are a force to be reckoned with.